What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's just another summer day in Los Angeles, and along with it, another ICE raid.
They reached and grabbed whoever they could.
Thousands of people in the San Fernando Valley had their water shut off, and not because they forgot to pay their bills. What does LADWP have to say about all this?
We pride ourselves on reliability. Obviously, in this instance, we've come up short.
And it turns out LA's wildfires from earlier this year were even deadlier than the official numbers suggest.
There are indirect deaths related to disruptions to health systems, mental health impacts, and so on.
All those stories and more on today's episode. Welcome to the LA Local for Wednesday, August 6, 2025, brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your host for today, Nate Ward. I'm a producer, writer, editor over here at KNX News. So let's talk about what's going on. Starting with, lots of folks at a Home Depot near LA's MacArthur Park unexpectedly found themselves wrapped up in an ICE raid this morning. Our Karen Adams has more.
Many people captured the raid on video.
Hey, does anyone have a warrant for this arrest? Are these arrests? Are these legal arrests? Do you have badge numbers? Do you have names?
The ICE and Border Patrol agents wearing tactical gear rolled up here in a yellow Penske truck and took roughly 16 vendors and day laborers into custody. Tony Corello caught the end of it.
They came in very quickly, blocked off a portion of the parking lot, and they, you know, stretched their arms out and they reached and grabbed whoever they could, just like they've been doing in these other kinds of indiscriminate raids all throughout the summer. You know, the most important thing that we saw, you know, is that these people that were kidnapped from this parking lot, is that the idea that there's any sort of pause at the moment, that because of the temporary restraining order, that there's a pause on these kinds of operations, is a total myth.
He says the temporary injunction means nothing without enforcement. U.S. Attorney Bill Asaley, soon after the raid, posted on X that if anyone thought immigration enforcement had stopped in Southern California, to think again. In Westlake, I'm Karen Adams.
So the truck rental company, Penske, they have released a statement saying the company strictly prohibits the transportation of people in the cargo area of its vehicles under any circumstances. The company says it wasn't aware its trucks would be used in an ICE raid today and that they didn't authorize it. Maybe these truck rental companies, when they have the federal government renting from them, maybe they should have them fill out forms like, will you be using this truck to abduct and arrest day laborers today? So a recent court ruling basically said that ICE agents, they can't rely on race, ethnicity, people's accents, or where people work to detain them, which, you know, basically they're profiling these people. And I wonder why today's ICE raid just happened to show up to a random LA Home Depot. But Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson gives us her take.
These are the reasons why we think that there is a reasonable suspicion that people were violating federal immigration law. And they would need some sort of evidence to indicate that this was not just basically a roving patrol, but they had reason to believe that there were people who were undocumented who were in that place at that time.
She says people who are detained, they are entitled to due process. But the real challenge is for people to find a lawyer who can make their case to a judge as to why they were unlawfully taken in custody in the first place. All right, now, thousands of people in Granada Hills and Porter Ranch, they have no running water today, all because a valve got stuck, preventing the water from flowing into the huge tank that supplies the whole area. I know if I lived over there, I'd be like, well, you better unstick this valve. Like, how complicated can it be to unstick a valve? But, you know, hey, I'm no plumber or a LADWP expert, but LADWP crews are working on a fix. Our John Baird, he talked to an LADWP spokesman about that tank that's running pretty dry.
Okay, so, and the tank was a 10 million gallon tank, right?
It's 10 million gallons, about 41 feet of water in that tank. Late last night, we were at about 13 feet of water. We issued an urgent call for conservation and had emailed and texted as many customers as we could last night in that area. It amounted to about 3,400 of our customers that we were able to reach out to. We also issued a couple of updates urging water conservation, but it's a 10 million gallon tank that serves that area. This is a very unusual situation for our crews, for our water system. We pride ourselves on reliability. Obviously, in this instance, we've come up short. Our crews are working as quickly as possible, and we've been mobilizing since yesterday afternoon to get as many staff as possible in the area. We are coordinating closely with LA Fire Department. We've also with LAPD because we know that fire protection is priority.
And for now, they're handing out bottled water at three different places around the valley: Holly Burnson Memorial Park in Northridge, O'Melveny Park in Granada Hills, and the intersection of Tampa and Cessnan Boulevard on the Northridge-Port Orange border. And there are already some very long lines at those locations. And those people, they're probably Googling, how many bottles of water does it take to fill up my bathtub? And, you know, even if you were to take a bath, what are you going to do? Boil the water? You're just going to take a cool bath? I guess silver lining for these people is at least it's kind of hot outside. So maybe a cool bottle water bath is nice today. I don't know. I do not envy these people in their problem. Having no running water for just a few hours is really annoying. I could only imagine having to deal with it for half a day or longer or several days. Jeez, terrible. Now on to the death toll of Eaton Fire and the Palisades fires earlier this year. The official death toll is 31. But there's a new study that has found that actually hundreds of people died from those fires. Researchers analyzed the number of deaths in LA County from January 5th to February 1st when those fires were active. Andrew Stokes of Boston University, who was part of the research team, tells us the true number of deaths attributable to the fires is closer to 440 people. He says that many of the deaths were not caused by burns or smoke inhalation directly.
Deaths from lung or heart conditions that were exacerbated by smoke or stress. We know that wildfire smoke has a lot of toxic components. And then there are indirect deaths related to disruptions to health systems, mental health impacts, and so on.
He says the fires also affected people who didn't necessarily live right next to the Palisades or Altadena.
The toxic components of wildfire smoke do not respect county borders, and we believe that neighboring counties may have also been deeply affected by the aftermath of the LA wildfires. And so future research should also include other geographic areas, neighboring counties, to really understand their stories and their impacts.
The JAMA Network also published two studies examining the health impacts of the Maui wildfires, which devastated the island in August 2023. One study found that residents near the fires on Maui had substantial heart, lung, and psychological health issues. Now, in Riverside County, a double murder cold case that's nearly 20 years old from Moreno Valley has now ended with the arrest of a man in Los Angeles. Our Pete Demetrio reports Riverside Sheriff's detectives used new technology to arrest the guy.
The original crime was a double murder of brothers Louie and Glenn Granato, who were found shot to death in their car on January 29, 2006 in Moreno Valley. After a prolonged period, Richard Ferris was thought to be a person of interest in the killings, but detectives couldn't find enough to charge him. Then in April of this year, the case was reopened, and through use of new technology, enough was found to file charges against Ferris. Riverside Sheriff's Major Crimes Unit located and arrested him last Friday in Boyle Heights. Ferris is being held without bail in a Riverside facility, and investigators are not commenting further, merely saying additional work for the prosecution is ongoing.
You know, innocent until proven guilty and all that. But gosh, this guy, he was just running around a free man all that time. I wonder what he was up to. Perhaps he donated his time to local soup kitchens or took in wayward puppies and kittens. Most likely not. LA City's billion-dollar financial shortfall is continuing to take its toll. Layoffs of city workers actually begin today, and word is some people actually have to fire themselves. I don't know how that works, because how do you fire yourself? I don't know if I have the wherewithal to give myself the pink slip and then escort myself out of the building. That just sounds a little cruel, to be honest. But our Craig Figner, he learned that there is a little bit of good news. More than 1,000 people who were on the layoff list were able to get gigs at LAX and the port.
The proposal was that we would see about 1,650 layoffs. We do have the number down under 400. And so, we have a process.
So fewer than 400 layoffs. Fewer, at least for,
yes,
for
thank
now.
You. Thank you for that. So fewer than 400 layoffs. And notices will be going out shortly to departments so that they can implement a first round of layoffs.
Is shortly within days?
Now. Yes.
Like now. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. More than 50% are civilians in the police department, the personnel department. They have several dozen employees to be laid off that will be working on layoffs of themselves or their colleagues.
It's brutal.
That's what professionals do.
That's Councilmember Tim McCosker giving us that grim update on these LA City layoffs. Now over to Studio City, where a group of neighbors, they are fed up with their mail being stolen, and they are not gonna take it anymore. People living along Long Ridge Avenue say that their mail carrier got robbed of one of his mail keys a few weeks ago, and basically their mail has been getting pilfered ever since. And some of these neighbors, they came face to face with the thief. Timothy Bremer, he described those moments to Kick Out News.
I popped out to film him to say, hey, he liked to rob us. And he tried to swat the phone away. I pepper sprayed him. He then tried to get in his car. We were trying to get him out.
Ooh, that's got a sting. And one of the neighbors actually bashed out several windows of the thief's getaway car, but he was still able to drive off. The residents are hoping that video of the encounter will help police catch this thief. Hopefully, dude won't be back. I mean, he got pepper sprayed, all his windows got beaten out, and, you know, hopefully he gets caught. Don't play with people's mail. 95% of mail is literally junk, but like that 5% is super important. Maybe you're getting medications through the mail, or there's important notices like car registration or past due bills, things you have to take care of. So hopefully he won't be back around Long Ridge Avenue to really severely inconvenience people's lives. Now on to the largest wildfire in the state this year. It's called the Gifford Fire near Santa Maria. There's still minimal containment on this fire, and nearly 84,000 acres have burned. Here's CBS's Jason Allen.
The wind has been pushing the fire through these canyons, and it is testing some of those containment lines. The weather isn't offering any help for the next couple of days, with temperatures just expected to climb a little bit higher and keep drying out any remaining brush and grass.
At the time of this episode, it's just 9% contained. It started originally as four separate fires on the border of Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties on Friday. Closer to home, crews are getting a better handle on two fires in the IE. The Rose Fire in Riverside County is 18% contained after burning across more than 1,600 acres. And the Gold Fire in the Big Bear area is nearing 1,000 acres and is 5% contained. On to California's wild pigs. Some of them, they're literally turning blue on the inside because they're eating poison. So if you're thinking about eating some wild pig, if it's blue, it might not be for you. All right, Emily Valdez reports.
Dan Burton, who owns Urban Trapping Wildlife Control in Monterey County, was trapping wild pigs on a farm. After euthanizing them, he usually donates the meat for others to eat. But recently,
we noticed that some of these pigs, the inside were blue, and not just a light blue color. It was almost like a neon blue, like raspberry slushy color blue. And I had heard, you know, rumors back in the day, 10 plus years ago, of, you know, if you see a blue pig or a pig with green insides, that it could be, poisoning.
Burton sent a sample to the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. Turns out the wild pigs were eating rodent poison.
Certain rodenticides, they do have a dye in there, so that way you can see if an animal's been exposed to it.
And yep, it would also be toxic to people and predators like mountain lions and bears. He's sounding the warning for hunters and others. If you come across wild meat with blue fat, it's toxic.
Ugh, raspberry, blue, slushy, pig meat. I haven't had lunch, but all of a sudden, I'm not too hungry. And in the WNBA, the Sparks took on the Indiana Fever at Crypto.com Arena. And there was a lot of hype around the game because Fever star Caitlin Clark, she was expected to be on the court, but she got injured a few weeks ago. And even then, there were a lot of Fever fans at the game. Like, the cheering was pretty much mixed. Natalie Tavidian, she talked with a loud crowd and some cute kids that were just trying to watch the game.
Tell me what you're most excited about.
We're just hanging out with my team and my family, and I'm really excited to see the Sparks and Fever play.
Oh, you all play basketball. What's the name of your team?
Dallas.
So which team are you rooting for?
Both. I don't pick one, so.
That's a tough one, huh? We're rooting for two teams here.
Yeah, a little bit.
Why?
They're both really good teams, and we just got to cheer them on.
Some info for you on the Sparks. It was on the big screen earlier. On August 1st against Seattle Storm, the Sparks made history, four players each scoring more than 20 points in the same game, something that's never happened before in team history and has only happened five times ever in the WNBA. And they also put up 108 points in that game, the third highest scoring game the Sparks have ever had.
And the Sparks, they did end up winning the game 101-91. That's pretty crazy that there's a lot of Fever fans here. And even though Clark wasn't playing, they still got a lot of cheers. But the game wasn't the only story. Unfortunately, another sex toy was thrown onto the court at last night's game. This time, it was thrown from the stands right near Indiana's Sophie Cunningham. Unfortunately, this is becoming a really weird, disturbing trend at WNBA games where toys are being thrown. It's happened in Atlanta, Phoenix, New York, Chicago, all within the last week or so. We just heard these cute little kids at the game just trying to have a good time. And there's people that are spoiling what is supposed to be a fun family atmosphere. Could you imagine taking a son, a daughter, a niece, a nephew, a child, what have you, to a game and having to explain what got thrown onto the court? Like, geez, that is really not good. And Lynn Roberts, the coach for the Sparks, she spoke after the game saying fans, they need to respect both players and the game itself.
I think it's ridiculous. It's dumb. It's stupid. We take... it's also dangerous, and you know, player safety is number one, respecting the game, all those things. I think it's really stupid.
It is dangerous. What if one of these players or a referee slips and gets hurt falling on one of these inappropriate devices? Good grief. And the WNBA, it says the safety and well-being of everyone in the arena is a top priority, and anyone who intentionally throws an object onto the court, no matter what it is, will be immediately ejected and face a minimum one-year ban in addition to being subject to arrest and prosecution by local authorities. All right, that's all we have for this episode of LA Local. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Thank you very much for listening. Tomorrow's host is Brandon Liebhaber. Have a lovely day and peace out.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.